Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we take an enthusiast look at Maximum PC's dream machine. What works, what doesn't work, and what really makes no sense at all. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McKay. Last year, around this time, we talked about the Maximum PC Mega Rig, or the Dream Builder. What was that, Darren?
Well, Maximum PC annually does their builds, and their top dog this year is the Dream Machine. Now, this is when our friends over at Maximum PC and PC Gamer, they partner up with some other groups too, Tech Radar being one of them, to talk about what they can build if there's a no-holds-barred ultimate gaming PC.
And there's several sites that do this sort of thing. Some of them give themselves arbitrary rules, and others like, no, we just want to pack as much stuff in there, and if it will fit in the case, then it goes in the build. And, you know, some of those don't make a lot of sense, but the Maximum PC build really, it seems interesting to me this time around.
Well, and one of the reasons that I like theirs in particular is, one, because I can always pick up the magazine, which sort of seems like an old school thing. But two is because they don't just list the hardware. They actually physically build the machine so that you know it's possible.
And that's a big part because, you know, you can spec it on paper. You can talk about it in the forums and, you know, yell at it on Reddit. But when it comes down to it, if you can build it, then, you know, it's a legitimate machine.
Now, I should also point out that in the same time frame, they build a mainstream rig and also a budget-friendly rig. But those are just not as much fun to talk about. Let's face it, we like enthusiast builds. And this is kind of the equivalent of gawking at a Lamborghini as it rolls by. Man, it is so amazing. But is it practical? Is it effective? Is it where you'd spend your money? I think those are the things that are a little more interesting to talk about.
I would say before we get too deep into the specs, let's talk about price.
Okay.
And because the price as built by as Maximum, built. Maximum PC, $18,000.
Holy cow. Now,
And that's like what? A car?
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit that this is really shocking to me because I think about all the possible builds out there that I'd want to build. And then I up it up and I amp it a little bit and I throw in maybe a Titan or two. And I still have a hard time figuring out where $18,000 went. So this will be interesting for me because when I'm thinking about a build, and maybe this is a little old school $99 McDonald's combo land kind of dreaming, but I just kind of feel like you should be able to build a gonzo build for maybe $4,000 or $5,000 tops.
Well, yeah, definitely one that would do anything you wanted it to do and not be over the top.
All right, Dennis, now you've really piqued my curiosity. I've seen the pictures. Let's talk about the specs. Let's find out where this money went.
Okay, so they start out. Core i9-7900X, which is nice processor, 10 cores, hyper-threaded for 20 threads, $1,000 processor. So there's a grand right there.
Well, you know, that was a quick grand. Now, of course, this uses the X299 chipset, and now that's not the hot dog, though. There are some newer rigs out there, newer processors, newer motherboards. We just talked about in the mainstream the Coffee Lake build.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's not high-end desktop stuff. So they wouldn't put that into this ultra build,
right? It doesn't cost enough, right?
I know. It's got to be costy.
So when we talk about performance, how do you feel about an i9-7900X?
I like it. I have one of those on the test bench right now. I really like it. It's those extra cores really increase the creative side of all the benchmarks. So anything having to do with rendering, anything having to do with physics, graphics, processing that isn't on the GPU, it excels at. I mean, all the numbers are off the charts.
Now, this is a 3.3 gigahertz processor at stock. Now,
it runs 4.5.
Easy?
Yeah. Easy. I mean, 4.5 is basically the turbo clock. That's the non-VAXA, VIX, or something like that. It's there's the complex calculations, and that tops out at 4.2, and then there's the... Yeah, we just want the fastest clock speed, and that's 4.5.
Well, I have to admit that I'm starting to wonder if we even care about base clocks when your processor is running most of the time at 4.2 plus. Why don't we call this a 4.2 processor?
Yeah, marketing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right.
It's crazy.
Well, we like the processor. What are they mounted on?
They put it on a Gigabyte X299 RS Gaming 9.
Ooh, I smell RGB.
Yeah, there's some RGB there. The question is, why didn't they do like, you know, an Asus Rampage or an MSI godlike or something like that. Why do you suppose they picked the Gigabyte board?
Well, I mean, it seems like pretty is a good portion of it. That's a really beautiful mainstream motherboard. Now, the gaming motherboards, one of my personal favorites is, you know what, I'm running a gaming board now. It's not the first one I've run.
Nope.
And I do love Gigabyte for their bang for your buck. You get a lot of onboard stuff without paying as much as you would for a premium like the Rampage, for example.
Yeah, but
that being said,
go on.
I was going to say, records aren't being set on the Gigabyte Aorus gaming motherboards. It's not, in my opinion, the top dog. If I were going to spend my money today, I wouldn't be looking at this card. And it's not because this motherboard isn't a fantastic motherboard, because it is. But it's a jack of all trades, beautiful mainstream board. It's not a high-end overclocking gonzo board. What would you pick?
You know, for the money, I would probably go with the Rampage 6 Apex. That's one that I just got done testing. There should be a review out on Hardware Asylum by now. It's a great board. It clocks well. It actually has profiles in there. It does four-way SLI. It's got RGB everywhere. It's got the anything and everything you want for overclocking. Granted, it's not the gaming board. And I suspect that the reason that they picked the Aorus one here from Gigabyte is probably just sponsorship.
Well, I have to agree with you. Although, again, going back to the mainstream this year, mm-hmm. I might suggest that if we were to pair this with a Coffee Lake and go with an ASUS equivalent motherboard, we could get a lot more bang for our buck, which I know is not in the spirit of the build.
No,
it's... But I have to say, in this case, I still think this might be a victim of timing, this particular build.
Yeah, it definitely is, because by the time that this article got published and they did the build, you know, you have the 18 core X series out already. So, I mean, they could have gone with a $2,000 processor.
Absolutely. And that's crazy, Gonzo. Okay, so we've got CPU and motherboard.
All right. And then, you know, because why the F not? 128 gigs of Crucial Ballistics Elite memory.
Wow. Now, I have to believe, without looking it up, 128 might be the maximum that Gigabyte board supports. But yep. Wow, why would you need more unless you were building a server? And even then, 128 is pretty good.
Well, and I should retract my previous statement. If they had gone with the Rampage board, it would top out at 64 gigs.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, you know, by going with the Aorus Gaming 9, they're maxing out by having 8 memory slots there, so they can, you know, max it out.
Now, Dennis, I got to call them out a little bit here because I love their memory choice. They went with Crucial Ballistics Elite, which is incredible, stable, good memory from a company we love and adore. They're local.
Yep.
And I still would pick different RAM.
You go with what, the G-Scale?
It's not fast enough. Crucial RAM is attractive. It's stable. It's very slow. Very slow.
Slow.
And it's not that it's not good enough, but come on, man, we're pairing this with a 7900X. Let's get at least some PC 4000 and not PC 4200 in the box.
Probably be doing 36, I'm thinking. Mostly because the four grand stuff is for the KB Lake X.
Oh, no. Well, that's okay. But even
still, I mean,
this is a great opportunity to score some free, well, not free, but some notable performance improvement by getting just a little bit faster RAM, especially when you pair it with a supported motherboard.
Yep. Again, I smell sponsor.
I do, and we love you, Crucial. Please don't be mad, but we got to get the speed of that Ballistics Elite up. We know you can do it.
Stop selling this fast chips. Put them on your own stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So next down the list, I suspect this is where all the money is being spent, or almost all of it. 2 NVIDIA Titan XPs.
Wow. Now, this is a difficult one for me to argue, because if I could afford 2 Titan XPs, I would certainly get them. But
they're not gaming cards.
They're not gaming cards.
They're not gaming cards.
And in fact, for the price of 2 Titans, you could get
4.
Yeah. Say it again.
4 1080 Ti's.
Which would just freaking stomp those Titan XPs and look good doing it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, 4-way SLI isn't supported by NVIDIA anymore. So
but even 3-way, probably going to give those Titans a run for the money.
Yeah.
Look better, give you more aftermarket cooling options, better driver support, better shader support, better physics support.
I mean, yes. Unfortunately, you know, we do have that whole two-way, four-way, three-way SLI thing, and NVIDIA is saying, no, you can't do that unless you are running benchmarks. And, you know, that's where, you know, the performance hits the pavement, but not the pavement, but the...
But let's talk back about it, though. If we were to choose the Titan XP, what are we gaining? I mean, the advantages are not there in the games. The advantages are not there in the benchmarks. Mm-mm. The advantages are only there for rendering. And today, if I were buying a rendering machine, it wouldn't have NVIDIA cards in it because I'd be mining Bitcoins.
Exactly.
So that being said...
1080 Ties, that's where it should have been. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, sponsorship.
Exactly. But NVIDIA makes those other cards too. So an interesting choice. I know they went with 2x, and to me, this smells like it could have been, oh, we need to throw more money at the system regardless of performance.
All right. So OS storage. We have two Samsung 960 Pro 512 gig M.2 PCI Express SSDs in a RAID 0. So obviously they installed the little hardware key to link those two together.
Nice.
Awesome.
Now, I'm not going to complain about those because Samsung's Pro level M2s, I still think, best in the market.
Best. I'm not going to argue.
2512 is an excellent choice for your OS storage.
All right, so other storage, and I think this is where a little bit more of the money goes. We have the Samsung 960 Pro 2TB M.2 PCI Express SSD. So it's a onboard one, two Samsung 850 Pros 2TB, two HGST UltraStar Helium 10 10TB 7200 RPM drive.
Yeah, boy, do I see the money being spent there, and there are some interesting choices there.
So we have 14TB of storage across three storage architectures.
I want to talk a little bit about those UltraStar HE10 drives because I honestly had to look them up because I remember reading about them and just disregarding them as sort of an enterprise level, super bulletproof storage solution, not a performance drive.
No, well, it's storage. It's 10TB of storage.
Yeah.
But the thing that I question here is that we have 2TB on an M.2 PCI Express. So super fast, 2TB, lots of storage, right?
Right.
Okay. And then they put in two more 850s that are 2TB. Oh, so that's 4TB.
Right.
I'm assuming RAID 0 here.
Yeah, even though it doesn't say it.
And those are on SATA. Those are SATA interfaces, right?
So the 850s,
Still fast, right? And then we have these two UltraStar Helium 10s. That's 20TB. Oh, see, I didn't even read right.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and those are 7200 RPM on SATA.
And those are where a lot of that money is being spent, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have, like, PCI Express plus a bunch of SATA drives. And, you know, really, in the grand scheme of things, you could probably just get away with that one 2TB M.2, get rid of everything else. But then again, there's, what, $3,000?
So I'm going to tell you where to spend your money, folks. If you need more storage, dear God, get a NAS. Please.
Yes.
Do it for the children.
And do it for the system that will probably break and then lose all your stuff. At least then it's stored somewhere else. Backups, people. Backups.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to be able to get your 20 there and a 5 or even an 8. So much cheaper. Get so much more redundancy. Mm-hmm. And get some really cool software support. Plex out. Stream it. Torrent it, you name it, without having to tie up this awesome machine that you're building. Please, folks, if you're out there, I know you're out there, give to the NAS drive.
Care of Hardware Asylum, addressed to Darren McKay.
Please, I could always use more drives, folks.
Yeah. All right, so to power this bad boy, we have a Corsair HX1200i.
Okay, now I like Corsair.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue. I would say Corsair is the way to go. However, I also see more sponsorship here because later on we have Corsair fans. You know, they pick Corsair because people like them.
I agree. Now, one thing I should say about the Corsair is their HX series are one of the quieter. Mm-hmm. And the 1200i is a good one. It's pretty efficient. It's also pretty expensive. Yep. But I'm not going to argue because when you get into the 1200 land, you're going to be spending the money. Pick a brand you're comfortable with. Make sure you're getting good, stable layers of protection and check those rails. And maybe most importantly, as we talk about a lot around here, get that 80 plus. And if the money is no object, what kind of 80 plus are we looking for?
Platinum.
Do it. Pay extra for it.
So they appear to have ditched the stock cables that came with the Corsair and went with the Cablemon cable kit. And if I remember correct, Lai, in the Maximum PC article, this was like a $200 cable kit.
Oh, at least. Now, this is a great vanity update. This is kind of back. We talked about Oogle and the supercar. This is Oogle the supercar stuff, guys. If you're putting together a beautiful case, which we're going to talk about in a minute, nice windows. The ultimate in cable mod is pretty color-matched cabling. Now, you can do this at home. I'm not going to lie. I've done it. Oh, my gosh. Is it hard and painful? So
it's a pain in the butt.
$200 is not a lot to spend, especially when you consider that you've already spent over that for that Corsair power supply.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about the cable mod kits is that when you order them, you can order the each cable individually at a custom length and then also have the color combinations that you want. And that's where a lot of the extra cost comes in, is because they're custom cutting them the way you want and then sleeving them the colors that you want.
Oh, and they look oh so good. Yeah. They really do. Now, again, if I were building this PC, I would Oogle the cable mod cable kit. I'm not sure I would put the money into it, but if money is no object, then heck yeah, am I getting pretty custom-made cables. Bring it on.
Yes. All right, next one is the case. We have the Fantex Inthu, I believe that's right, Elite Super Tower. Now, I saw this case at CES, and I must say, it's huge.
Yeah,
it
no,
is huge.
I think I remember this one, and Dennis is bringing it up for me to show me, but I think this is the one with the cool ground effects lighting, which is all I remember about it. Isn't that kind of funny that that's what I remember about it? Oh, yeah, that's right. So what we've got here is this beautiful, it looks like it's sitting on a shelf kind of its own. The feet is actually a flat panel. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love this. I wish that more companies were doing this. And wait a minute, did I just endorse lighting in RGB again?
You did.
I know, I'm not taking my meds, but folks, this is an amazingly beautiful effect on the case, and I love the tempered glass. This is something Dennis and I both have been embracing lately. It's a hot trend. They're a little bit more difficult to build in because everything's visible.
Yep.
But man, do they look good. And this case is giant, but I'm having a little sticker shock here just looking at it.
Yeah, well, at Newegg, this is retailing for $900. I believe there is a more expensive version, and maybe this is it. But basically, Fantex told me at CES that, you know, this case gets shipped with all of the accessories. So any accessory that you could buy that would be built for this case come in the box. And the case itself comes shipped in one of those aluminum shipping containers that you normally see stacked behind a concert.
Oh, now that's
you know that
cool.
They have all their gear in. Mm-hmm. So it's a major shipping container. And obviously it's like you buy this case and it's like, where do you do with the box? You don't throw the box away.
Well, no. And you need all those accessories in case you change your build, because you spend $1,000 on a case. You want to put more than one build in it, I'm thinking, over its life.
Well, yeah. But, you know, and I guess if you think about it, it's like, well, isn't Fantex kind of building the ultimate case that you never have to replace?
I can see the value there.
Yeah. So anyway, we have tempered glass panels. There's basically two sections. So in the lower section, you can build a mini ATX build. In the upper one, you can build a full ATX build. It's designed necessarily for water cooling, as all Fantex cases are.
I do like the hinged window, so the door doesn't come completely off. That's kind of nice. Yeah, haven't seen that in a while.
Got some RGB lighting on the bottom, so a little bit of...
Looks great. Is it super gaudy?
Yeah, so a little bit of lowrider lights, I think.
Lowrider. Ground effects.
Yeah. I'm going to say excellent choice on the case. A bit expensive, but for everything that they're putting into this build, they would be hard-pressed to find some of the classic cases that are designed in the same manner with the same sort of storage.
It's got a lot of things going for it. Anodized, powder-coated, tempered, all the boxes that you'd check if you're building your own case. Now, I have to admit, I'm kind of now a little bit jealous, and I think that maybe I need to see one of these myself before I die, just to see what may be the perfect case for $1,000. Wow. Okay, can't knock it. Got to buy it.
$1,000. All right, so for cooling, I've seen pictures of this, the way that Maximum PC built it. It's a dual loop. So we have a loop for the video cards. We also have a loop for the CPU, memory, and chipset, I believe, or maybe it's just CPU and memory. But what they have listed here is the EK WaterBlox cooling suite. And if we pull this up, it is basically just kind of a cooling kit.
Now, this is something I want to talk about a little bit, because I'm a huge EK fan. And this is something new that they started doing this year at CES. This is designed to be a kit that you buy.
Yeah, it's an all-in-one kit, but it's not an all-in-one cooler. So basically you have, you know, and Thermaltake did it with their premium TT stuff.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's what we put into the Core V51 mod. But we have a CPU block. It looks like they include a VGA block or radiator maybe. No, fans.
Of course.
Pump res.
Right.
And, oh yeah, here's the VGA block.
Uh-huh.
So,
and backplate too, it looks
and
like.
And backplate, yeah. So basically all that we'd have to do for this Ultimate machine is buy another GPU block because we're running two,
mm-hmm.
Or in a sense buy two of those kits.
Yeah, I do like the kit, and I'm excited to see EK because they've been such a leader in performance water cooling, mm-hmm. actually coming out with something that's more mainstream accessible. And it's hard to say that when we're talking about an $18,000 build, but that EKWB cooling suite is really, I think, taking the game back to Thermaltake and Corsair and all of these companies that offer these all-in-one kits and saying, hey, for just a couple bucks more, we're going to give you an infinitely expandable system that's just as easy to put together.
For 18 grand to put a system together, how many fans do you think you would need to keep that system cool?
I don't know, it was a big case. So let me see, maybe three on the top, three in the front, one in back. Seven? That's seven, right?
They have 11 listed.
Oh, holy cow. Okay.
So we have 820 millimeter from Corsair and then 340 millimeters.
Are they doing push-pull? Let me take a look at that case again. What's?
Well, let's just look at this. Well, it's hard to say. They're probably doing push-pull, but we also have dual radiators for the two loops. So.
Dual radiators. There's three more. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I would be interested to see where they put all those fans, but hey. As long as it keeps it cool.
So the interesting thing here is 120s and 140s. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that they have put in a radiator that takes 120s instead of two radiators that take 140s. So,
I would actually fathom that they have the 140s as airflow through the chassis, and then the 120s are on all the rads.
Well, okay. Well, this is not going to be a quiet build then, probably, but at least it probably breathes well.
Yeah, well, we would hope, right? See, monitor-wise, we're running a 27-inch 4K HDR with 144 hertz refresh rate.
From Asus, no less.
From Asus, so...
Could be a sponsor. Now, this is an interesting choice because I think if you are building a dream machine that costs $18,000...
Ultra-wide.
One single 27-inch 4K monitor seems like a ridiculously bad decision for those two Titans to run.
Yes.
Yeah, and Dennis has kind of nailed where I was going. A couple of 34 or 36-inch ultra-wides, curved ultra-wides with HDR. Yeah, you get your sync technology, the whole nine yards there. You're going to have such a better experience. You're going to pay more, but that's at least a good place to put your money.
Yeah. All right, so after that, we have basically the system built. They had a list of accessories, which I'm sure are, well, here. The Minix caster for the mouse. I'm going to pull this up real quick because it's probably like $500 or something stupid. No.
No, it's not. $60. In fact, this is a pretty mainstream card. Now, we haven't done any of the Mionix or however it is products here. It's not a company we've worked with. So
It was released December 2013. This is a five-year-old mouse for $60 that they put into an $18,000 build.
And they make a more modern version of that. That's the Caster RGB 2, which is an interesting choice. The price is really close in price. So maybe a sponsor there, and maybe the mouse is fantastic. I haven't used one.
Yeah, who knows, right?
But I just feel like there are so many choices out there. And I got to be honest, Dennis, right now there's a really up-and-coming trend in 3D printing capable products, and mice is one of those areas where mm-hmm. you can buy Rocket makes one, and I know Thermaltake does, and a couple others, where you can buy the mouse and you can 3D print it. And I think if money were no object, I'd be looking at a custom 3D print compatible mm-hmm. mouse, or at least something modern with a current.
Well, and Epic Gear has one that is interchangeable everything. You can change the switches. You can change the sensor. You can change the tops. I mean, there's a lot of other options. And I'm just thinking, why that? But in any event, next one is probably another why question. It's Logitech G413 carbon keyboard.
Okay, now Logitech makes great peripherals. That is true. This is another more mainstream choice.
Yeah, so, well, that's what it is.
It's a carbon. I think it's mechanical. Yep, it is mechanical. So, precision, okay. Carbon makes me think carbon fiber, maybe, but nope, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Headphones.
Yeah, headphones. Oh, now this is...
Very dynamic DTs, it looks like.
1770 Pros. All right, so as a bit of an audiophile, I can tell you that these are audiophile-level headphones. And that's what makes these an interesting choice, because these are not gaming headphones.
No, and these they're not 7.1s, they're just 2s.
Audiophile-level headphones. And, okay, so you're going to spend $18,000 on a PC. Yeah, you might want to get really good headphones, but you probably want to drive those headphones off of something that's not a gaming-level motherboard with onboard sound.
For instance, the AE5 from Creative.
Yeah, an AE5 amp DAC. So, folks, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you don't already know, please don't buy high-end headphones and expect them to work without an amp DAC to support them. And if you need more help with that, we will help you, but please do the research. I know if you can afford a $699 pair of headphones that you probably know better, and you are probably shaking your head about this choice also. But, hey, why not, if you're going to get an $18,000 one, get great freaking headphones. Although, as you know, I am a huge Sennheiser fan, and I'd say at $699, I'd be looking at a pair of HD 800s probably, which is one of the very best sets of headphones out there, and pairing it with an Antlion probably microphone.
Yeah. Let's see. Microphone, they did a Razer Siren Pro, which is, it's okay.
Now, this is a really popular microphone for the YouTube, Twitch folks out there that are spending their money elsewhere and just need a good microphone. Is it the best microphone out there?
No. And no. It competes with the Yeti, and the Yeti's $150. It's half the price. Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, whatever.
It's not a bad decision, but now I'm seeing audiophile level headphones, albeit lower level audiophile level headphones, paired with what I would consider a mainstream YouTube broadcaster's microphone. So it's a little eclectic in its choices for me. If you're going to spend $700 on headphones and that app deck that you need, that's going to be another couple hundred to $300 probably, then you might as well get a good condenser mic too. And those can be had for around $150, $200 also, balanced a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. We all have brands that we like, and that is very true. Rode is probably my choice if you're going to start to get into that serious level.
Oh, definitely. Speaking of Rode, they are using the PSA1 boom arm, and we have a couple of those arms for our microphones for the podcast, although we don't use them.
Now, this is an interesting choice because that means that they looked at Rode product and still chose a Razer Siren. So, okay.
And then we have the Noble Chairs Epic Series in white, which I'm guessing sponsor.
Beautiful. Hey, now a gaming chair is not a bad choice if you've spent your money on everything else.
Okay, and this one makes me laugh a little bit. The NVIDIA HB SLI Bridge. Now, the HB SLI Bridge is required for the newfangled SLI. So whenever you link two cards together, you need to go over the high bandwidth bridges, which basically uses both fingers on the top of the card.
But doesn't that come with the motherboard?
Exactly.
Why did they list as an accessory? Did they get an aftermarket one? Does it light up or something?
I don't know.
Okay, so interesting choice there.
Yeah, and then last, and this is probably laughable, Windows 10 Home.
Home Edition.
Home Edition.
Why? Why?
They had to save $50.
Okay.
So in any event, that is the build. And I would say in some ways, it's insane. It's $18,000. They have some amazing hardware in there, some hardware I would love to have.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely overpriced for the sake of being overpriced with some insanity just to pad the price.
And clearly some decisions that seem less based on form and function and more based on some other criteria, which could be sponsor, definitely isn't what was laying around the shop like we sometimes do. So I think what's probably most important to do is, just like anything else out there, this is sort of like seeing a striker on the road. You ooh and ah and go home and say, yeah, if you gave it to me, I'm not going to complain. But if I were buying it myself, I'd probably get the Porsche, the Ferrari, insert your favorite car here. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's going to look at this and see, I think, something that they would do a little bit differently.
Well, for instance, TechRadar even writes right next to the specs here. And here we go on record. If AMD's Threadripper has been available when we started this build and all of its 16 cores, we would have gone with that. And if Intel's $2,000 plus Core i9-7980XE were around, then we would have gone with that. However, deadline, so on and so forth, and this is what they built.
If they went with everything.
Yeah, well, if they went with the $2,000 processor, would they reduce something, or would this be a $1,900 or $19,000 build?
Absolutely.
All great questions. Again, not for us to really do other than just kind of argue about it and kind of, you know, be a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I have to agree. Well, folks, this is, I think, aptly named the Dream Machine, because what it does very well, not unlike buying lottery tickets, is give you an opportunity to sit back with your buddies, your enthusiast crowd, and say, you know, if money were no object, what would we do? What would we do differently? And I think that's where the question lies. So, folks, if you have been dreaming about a PC, let us know. Post on the Facebook, come to the forums and say, hey, if money were no limit, here's what I'd do differently. Because we all like to dream about, hey, what's our money's no object PC? I know I do. And yours may be so different from that, that we might go, yeah, that's the one.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2017. Thanks for listening.